I had a lot of thoughts this week. District convention's coming up, and I'll be gone for that, leaving Wednesday, and I won't be back till about Saturday. So a lot of things about last year's convention that I was just thinking about agendas and all that kind of stuff that I put together, and then I'm helping with music this year at district convention. And so there's just a lot going on and a lot of things to think about and prepare for. But last year, I heard a great sermon that just kind of stuck with me last year. I don't know, I've just always been, it's just been on my mind throughout the whole year. It's just never left my thoughts. And the speaker talked about how, as a young man, that there was this youth leader. He was an older gentleman in the Nazarene church who everybody, all the kids thought he was really weird. They thought he was just kind of, he was awkward and he was strange, but he talked about how this guy, through all of his awkwardness and how strange he was, he even told stories about how he would take them. They went and stayed in this beat up old cabin somewhere, and it was just really comical to listen to him. But somehow through all that craziness, this guy's influence brought him to a relationship with Christ. And it's an amazing story. You know, so it made me think about how I think most people see me. Sometimes they see me as awkward, sometimes maybe a little strange, and sometimes I think just flat weird. You know, I've never considered myself weird, but maybe you have.
Amen.
You know? Like, you know, but, you know, I got to thinking about that, you know, but after I was saved, things began to change in my life, and things that were normal for some didn't seem normal for me because I was different. I never considered myself to be weird, but I think the best word for me would be peculiar. Peculiar, right? Special, some might say. Set apart from the normal crowd. I may have looked the same, but spiritually inside, I was not the same. Follow me this morning. I think the best word for me is peculiar. See, when I got saved, and when we get saved, we begin a process of change and transformation that changes the way we act, the way we think, the way we live in our daily lives. Our focus changes. Instead of focusing on ourselves, our needs, our wants, our desires, we focus on God and His will and His purpose in our life. And that's what is meant to happen for us as followers of Jesus. Amen? We're meant to be different. We're meant to be peculiar. We're meant to be awkward at times, and sometimes we're just weird. Everybody's like, well, I'm not weird. So Peter, chapter 2. 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 9. I think Verna has it for me. It says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Man. In some translations, it's translated a little bit different. This verse refers to believers as God's special possession. The word translated as special in some Bible versions, like the King James, is in the Greek, it means peculiar, set apart, and treasured. So what does it mean for us as believers to be called peculiar people? Special. My thoughts are some people, though sadly, refuse to be peculiar for Christ. They want all the benefits of having their sins forgiven, all the benefits of being loved and cared for by God, the guaranteed of a place in heaven, but they don't want to be set apart. The truth is there's a cost to following Jesus, isn't there?
Amen.
There's a cost that there are changes that have to be made, and let me tell you, you have to be willing to let those changes be made in your life. That's the real phrase right there. You have to be willing to make the changes in your life. There may be things present in our lives that we enjoy that are against the will of God, against the purpose of God. There may be things present. God calls us to be peculiar, holy, set apart, even strangers in this world we live in. And God calls us to honor and serve Him in every aspect of our life, not just for a few hours of church on Sunday with each other. We have to do that every day of our lives. Every day of our lives. But I wonder sometimes, how can God really expect us to live a peculiar life, set apart life from the people around us? It's not easy, is it? Are we worried about what others may think? Are you worried about how others may consider you as maybe being peculiar, or maybe being awkward, or maybe being just flat weird because of your faith and beliefs in Jesus Christ? I had a conversation with a person this week that said that they'd spent a week with some fellow friends of his that they went fishing on a fishing trip. And he said, I just felt kind of, I just don't. And he went on, and I was waiting. I've been having some good conversations with this individual for a while. I call him one of my ones. And he said, from the time we got on the boat, he said, we fished for about 4 days. And he said, from the time we got where we were at to the time we left, he said, they drank beer. And they never stopped. One guy bragged that he had drank 37 beers in 4 days. He felt uncomfortable. And I told him, I said, you know what? I said, I feel uncomfortable around that too. And that's why I don't go places anymore because I feel uncomfortable around that. It's one thing about being around people who have a beer or two every now and then, but when it's constantly drinking beer, telling dirty jokes, using foul language, and all that, I don't want to be around it. It makes me uncomfortable. Maybe they think I'm weird because of that. Maybe they think that I'm awkward or a peculiar person, but I am. I am for Christ. That's not my life. Can we really live a peculiar life? Can we really live a life set apart from this world? Can we come out of the world, as the scripture says, and be separate from the world? I'm talking about spiritual things. We exist in this world. And I'd say, in our own strength, we can. But if we allow God to work in us and through us, we'll be changed and transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you let that happen, you have the strength and the power to do that. Remember what Jesus, his last words said, in the ascension, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said this: you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You know that word, and you've heard me say this many times before, but I want you to remember that word, that Greek word meaning dunamis, right? That word, dunamis, is used 120 times in the New Testament. And it's a word that refers to strength, power, or ability. It's not just any power. It refers to miraculous power, marvelous works. Think about that. It also refers to moral power and excellence of soul. Think about that, that word, dunamis, the same word we get dynamite from, the same word that's used for dynamo or dynamic. Dynamic. You know, when a group of dynamic Christians get their fuses lit for Christ, guess what happens? Think about that. What happens when a group of Christians get lit for Christ? You probably never thought I'd ever say that, would you? Let's all get lit. You know, an explosion happens and it changes lives. Lives are transformed, right? People get saved. Things happen. There's excitement in the air, right? Man, I mean, the 4th of July Friday, I mean, fireworks and explosions, you know, big bright lights in the sky. That's the way Christians should be. Right? Dynamite. Power through the Holy Spirit. I'd say this morning, I mean, you guys are awful quiet, but we all need to get lit for Christ tonight, to this morning. Amen. Amen. Come on.
Amen.
Set a fire down in my soul. You know that song we sing sometimes? That I can't contain and I can't control. Because let me tell you, when you light a fuse, if you got a firecracker in your hand, you light a fuse, do you just hang on to it? No, man. You can't contain it. We will be peculiar when we allow God to empower us through the dynamic work of the Holy Spirit. And so many people reject that dynamic work that the Holy Spirit can do because it's different. And they're afraid of different. People are afraid of what the Holy Spirit can do in their life. Because let me tell you, He'll make you peculiar. And He'll make you awkward. And He'll make you just flat out weird sometimes. Psalms 119, verses 17 and 19 says, "But be good to your servant that I may live and obey your word. Open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your instruction. I am only a stranger in the land. Don't hide your commands from me." Man, David acknowledges he is a servant of God. Amen. And
Amen.
he wants to live by obeying the words and the commandments of God. In the modern world, I think David would be a weird person, strange and awkward to most. Weird because he believes there is a God. Weird because he believes God is good. Weird because he believes in obeying the word of God. Weird because he believes the word of God is truth. Amen.
Amen.
And the Bible says, "I am only a stranger in the land," and I like what David says there, doesn't he? If we dare to be that peculiar people that God has called us to be, if we truly live as servants of God, some people will just think we're weird. The truth is, some of us are weirder than others. And I confess this morning, I have made the decision that I am weird. You guys chuckle. I'm awkward. I'm peculiar. Why? Because I openly confess, I know I'm a peculiar person. I'm tongue-tied. That'll make you tongue-tied, won't it? I believe God speaks to me through his word, don't you?
Amen.
I believe Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. I believe the Holy Spirit empowers me. I believe I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I believe God is with me and will not forsake me. I believe he has a perfect plan for my life. I believe I have been saved from my sins. I believe I've placed a place secured for me in heaven. Amen. I believe that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor anything above or below can separate me from the love that God has for me.
Amen.
Amen. You believe that today? I believe I'm ransomed, healed. Amen. I'm a believer in that. Most of all, I'm restored and I'm forgiven. I believe I'm saved. I have no doubt about it. And if that makes me peculiar and weird, I accept every bit of it. We're meant to be different from those around us. And maybe we need to pray, Lord, give me the courage to live as a peculiar weirdo in this world. Huh? Come on.
Amen.
Open my eyes that I may see the wonderful truth of your word. Help me to obey your word. Amen.
Amen.
So I dare you this morning to be peculiar, to be set apart, to live your life set apart. I dare you to be different. And I dare you to join the crowd of the weirdos who love Jesus. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. Are you? You and I are called to be set apart from this world around us. And throughout the Bible, we're given practical instructions to do it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he gives a whole clear guide on how we are to live set apart and peculiar. Like he chosen people. It says this, but you, brothers and sisters, I'll say that, sisters, you're excluded, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Amen.
Amen.
Paul's encouraging the church in of Thessalonians or the Thessalonians there, and he's also encouraging us to dare to be peculiar people, to be set apart. Paul uses some metaphors here to describe the difference that should be present in our life. Light, not darkness. Day, not night. Awake and not asleep, and sober and not drunk. The world is living in darkness, and darkness implies evil and ignorance of sin. We are to live as children of the light, and instead of running away from the darkness, we shine in it. We shine in the darkness. We dispel the darkness around us. We don't create it. or we don't join in it. He led me from darkness into a marvelous light. Amen?
Amen.
And before I knew Jesus, I was living in darkness, and Jesus shined his light into my life. Amen? And if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you are a child of the light and not a child of the darkness anymore. You are called to be a light in this dark, sin-sick world, and a bright light for others that shines with the love of God. And light should be a distinguishing characteristic of your life, too. It's day, not night. Paul writes, you are children of the day. You do not belong to the night anymore. There's a definite difference between night and day, isn't there? Just as Christians, there should be a definite difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. Come on now. There should be something different about you. When there's just so many who choose to remain in the darkness, those who choose to remain away from God. When Christ returns, it'll be too late for them to be saved. You hear me? Too late for them to repent. Too late for them to step into the light and out of the darkness. But God has called you and I, as children of the light, to share the gospel with those who are in darkness. Jesus came to shine a great light into a dark world. And we are to shine that light bright. And man, how bright is your light this morning? How bright is your light this morning? I ask you to dare to live as set apart chosen people and dare to shine the light of God upon those around you. Paul encourages us to not be like those who are asleep and not to be like those who are unaware of the truth. How many of you know the truth this morning? You're aware of the truth this morning. I know Jesus sets me free. Amen. That's the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Who comes to the Father except through Him? We are no longer dead in our trespasses and sins. We are alive in Christ. That's something to rejoice and be glad of. Amen?
Okay.
We are to be active. We are to be active and not passive in our daily walk. Amen. In Matthew 24 and 42 and in Matthew 25 and 13, if you read that, Jesus spoke about the importance of keeping watch and being awake and not asleep. Don't allow yourself to get spiritually sleepy. It can happen really quick. Read the Word. Spend time in prayer. Serve Him all that you can. Love God and others. Be active. Be prepared for our Lord. Let me tell you, He's coming back again one of these days. I don't know when that's going to be. None of us do. Jesus said He didn't even know, but He said it's going to happen. And don't be asleep. Don't let Him come back and find you asleep. Don't let Him come back and find you drunk. Be sober. Be alert. Be ready spiritually. You know, this really sober and not drunk, it speaks of both a physical state and a spiritual reality. Drunkenness arises from a lack of self-control and indulgence of the senses in order to escape reality. And we know that so many do that. It seems for many people, the only source of purpose of joy is excess of things. They live for the moment so that they can forget about the consequences of today or the past or everything else. It feels good at the time. God expects something different from his children. We are to seek self-controlled lives. That's what holiness is all about. That's what being holy or being called unto holiness is, what's on our door out there. It's what we're known for in the Nazarene church, is to be called into holiness, means to be set apart, to live that life as peculiar people, to hold ourselves accountable, to live a life of self-controlledness. Some people think that's impossible. It is under your own power. That's why the Nazarene church says this little thing called sanctification. The empowering of the Holy Spirit so that you can live that life. And when you're filled with the Spirit, you don't struggle with those things anymore. You don't struggle with sin in your life anymore. It's not that you're not capable of doing it. You don't struggle with it anymore because the power of the Holy Spirit is saying, oh, guiding and directing you in your life. Some people think we sin every day, thought, word, and deed, but let me tell you, through the power of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
nothing is impossible for God. I don't limit my God. If Jesus' power can heal, can raise the dead, Jesus' power can take care of the sin in my life.
And wow.
Absolutely. I don't have to walk in it any longer. Our lifestyle is meant to reflect that we are more willing to love and serve God than to seek the meaningless pleasures of this world. You hear me?
Amen.
This world will pass away. But he will never pass away.
Wow.
For some, this world will end. Their life will end.
Come back.
1 Thessalonians 5:14. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. In this translation that you have behind me, it says idle. Encourage the timid. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful. There we go, right there. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Pray without ceasing, right? Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. It says, don't quench the Spirit in some translations. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't stifle the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. That's pretty powerful, isn't it?
Amen.
Man, let me tell you, in this world we live in is not much different than the world that Paul lived in. There was all kinds of evil things going on then, just like there are today. He's like, stay away from all that pagan stuff. Stay away from all that evil things. Why? So it doesn't drag you back into the darkness that you came from. You are a citizen of another world. Amen. I think some people believe that of me. He's not on this planet. No. Not up here, I'm not. Not in here, I'm not. Because this place is not my home. I am from another place. My home is in heaven with Jesus. And whether I live or I die, if I live, I live for Christ. If I die, I die for Christ because I will be with my... If I'm absent from the body, that's what the scripture says. Every funeral I've been at, just about, that scripture is quoted. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? What do we have to worry about? If we leave this world today, what do you have to worry about? Come on now.
Amen.
If you really believe what is written in this book, if you really believe that, then it should be a joyous thing to think about. I'm going to be with Jesus.
Amen.
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 No more pain, no more sorrow, no more heartache, no more evil doings, no more of this garbage that we deal with here in this world. I'm going to be with Jesus. You wonder why things bother you in this world? Holy Spirit's telling you. You don't belong here. There's things going on now that I never thought I'd see happen, especially in America. You've heard about it in other countries and things, but there's... Let me tell you. The Bible does tell us this, though. In the last days, there'll be perilous times. When scripture says it'll wax worse, means it'll just continue to get worse. You think it's bad now, just wait. It's coming. It's going to keep getting worse. But let me tell you, he chose us to be here now, at this time, at this place, to share the gospel now. And he gives you all the strength that you need. He gives you all the power that you need to overcome the world because he said, I overcame it and you can overcome it. Amen?
Amen.
So as citizens of another world, as strangers in a foreign land, we're meant to live set apart and to be different. Amen?
Amen.
So I dare you to be weird. I dare you to be weird for Christ. I dare you to be weird in this world and live differently for the glory and the honor of God Almighty. Amen? Maybe I'll get a shirt that says I'm a weirdo for Jesus. That may be going a little too far. I don't know. Maybe if I just say I'm peculiar, maybe that's enough. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that if there's anyone here this morning, Lord, that I hope that the words that have been spoken, Lord, doesn't fall on deaf ears today. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit, as it does its work, your work, Lord, may lives be changed. May hearts be softened, transformed. May fuses be lit. And Lord, let us leave here with joy in our hearts, knowing that we belong to you. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in the lives of those that are here. Lord, and I thank you for what you're doing in the lives of those who are being discipled. Lord, I pray for those prodigals that are out there, Lord. I pray for those family members, Lord, of those who are here that have family members that don't know you. Lord, we lift them up to you right now. Lord, this is your church. We surrender it to you as we surrender our lives to your service. And we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We didn't do social media, do we? Or not really, right? Because it was familiar, but it let me disconnect, start the evening. And when we were out there at night, it was just so quiet. You don't get that in town. And I talk to God every day, but I don't know if they can listen to the talk. There's so much noise all around. And the first thing he had for me, it's just stuck with me this whole time, is they'll have a form of godliness, but they deny its power.
Amen.
So every time I open up the Bible now, it's like I get in Corinthians, and it's like talking about the gifts. He's like, desire earnestly the greater gifts. And how many times do we really desire the gifts more and more? How can we talk about stuff, but how do we really desire? And that's all I can think about lately.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. That's good, Trey. That's good. Anybody else? Go ahead, brother.
About 100 years ago, one of the great tightrope performers in the world threw a wire from the top of one building to the other. And he asked the crowd down below, how many think I can walk this wire? There was a few hands went up. He did. He walked the wire. After he got to the other side, he said, how many people think I can make it back? Two hands rose again. Then he picked the wheelbarrow up, brought it to the wire, and said, how many people believe I can push this wheelbarrow across that wire back? There was one guy raised his hand. And the tire company said, well, will you come and get in this wheelbarrow? It's one thing to believe all the things that Jesus said in the Bible, but it's another thing to get in that wheelbarrow.
Yeah.
And I want you to know, along with your message today, my testimony is this. I'm the weirdo in the wheelbarrow.
Yeah. But Jesus. That was you that raised your hand there, you said, about 100.
I
yeah. Yeah, I said one time, I said, how many of you think that I can, that I'm a pretty good shot with a 22? How many of you think I could hit, you know, a balloon from here to the sound booth back there with a 22 rifle? Most of you, if anybody knows me, they knows that, that's pretty easy. I said, now who will hold that balloon while I shoot it? Yeah. Not too many people was going to take that. Yeah. Anyway.
It changes the real different. But when I was born into an Adventist church, you might say, my mom and dad got saved at one point. I knew that from the real that way. But when I had a teenager, the other people were doing things. And I saw that was a good deal. Not bad, maybe that's a good point. But don't get all I know at that time. And I have several bad things can happen. But I'm sort of thinking that 40 years ago, some of these things I felt very lost in my life. And I'm telling you that I'm hopeful for sitting here.
Amen.
And I just feel full. I just feel thankful for
everything.
I didn't want to leave anymore, but I ended up off what I went on.
That's
it.
Amen.
So, amen. 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 Good testimony. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. Thank you all for that. Well, I don't want to stop anybody from saying anything. This is what's so special about church sometimes. I don't want to quench the spirit. Okay, well, all hearts are clear. Heavenly Father, go with us as we leave. And Lord, let us be a bright light in this dark world. And Lord, we praise and glorify you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.